Good morning, everybody. Good to be with you this morning. A wonderful Sunday morning. My name's Tim, and if it's your first time here, we're so happy that you would come and be with us today. Hope you grow and benefit from this service together this morning. Got several announcements. I want to say thank the Lord that our campers are back from Senior Week. They got back in one piece. Isn't that awesome? I know there was a lot of flooding issues and stuff, but it's great to have our senior high teenagers back. Ashley wanted me to let you know that VBS is going just a couple of weeks away, and if you're interested in registering, pre-registering, you can check it out at the Welcome Center, and she'll get you lined out with more information about VBS. Our men's retreat's coming up. I think there's some information in the bulletin about that. It's our theme is the Sons of Liberty. That'll be at Durley, and there'll be more details about that. We'll probably start registering, hopefully by next Sunday, for that weekend. Also, there's a couple of people that I want to mention. Of course, you know about Susan's dad, Matt Verbal, which is Nicole's dad. Was diagnosed with prostate cancer, and he would love if you could write his name down and pray for him. It would really good at this time. And also on the other side of this, from all the prayers we've had, Sophie was able to ring the bell, which means she's gotten through that. Which officially makes her a survivor. Now, you know, I mean, she's went through the chemo, she's went through the things, and going back for some checkups, but it was exciting to see that video. If you haven't got a chance to see that video, very exciting to watch, very uplifting. We're starting a new series here this Sunday called Citizen, and we're looking at our citizenship in heaven. That's what I want to look at this morning. It comes from a passage in Philippians, and the thing about, I noticed about coming up with this series was just how this year has been affecting. I don't know how it's been affecting you, what impact it's been making on you. Here we are at our 250th celebration of our country. Lots of fireworks, lots of music. I watched The Patriot last weekend. It just made me have a growing appreciation for those that worked so hard, sacrificed themselves, literally signed on the dotted line and put their life and future in peril so that, you know, I could be free, so you could be free. And I recommend that, watching that movie every once in a while, just to kind of remind ourselves of how great a country we're in. And the World Cup, when you add the World Cup to this thing, it's just amazing. You're watching all these different countries coming, and, you know, the U.S. was in it until this earlier this week, and we got knocked out by Belgium. But the thing I loved about it was listening to these fans, didn't matter if they were one party or the other, they're all singing together, Country Road, Take Me Home. I loved that. And then to watch, people from other countries, even from, you know, different nations, singing that song as well, all by themselves, and getting all excited about just about being in the United States. You know, a lot of these people that have come into this country to check out their soccer team as fans, they really think a lot of this country. It's very interesting what they say. Everything's bigger. Everything tastes better. It's probably not good for you, but it sure tastes good. You know? And they talk about how everybody's so friendly. Can you believe this? They say Americans are so friendly. I don't know about you, but it's nice to hear something positive about our nation for a change, huh? You know? I mean, the media doesn't know what to do with it. They're not giving them any material. But it's like, it's so great to see this. And as I watch this, and I see fireworks, you know, and watch veterans, 104-year-old veteran saluting a flag that used to fly over the Arizona that started, enlisted the day of Pearl Harbor, goes through all of World War II, gets out, and then you see the smile on his face as he looks at this crowd, because these are his children and his great-grandchildren. This, that generation that he was thinking of is now in front of his own eyes. He's lived long enough to see that. I don't know what that does to you, but that stirs me up. That gets me excited about this nation. I love America. I love this country. But as a Christian, I have a divine citizenship. I want you to think about this. As a Christian, we have a divine citizenship that goes much deeper, that stirs a greater allegiance, and it's not to a flag or a constitution or a country, but to the Bible, to Jesus Christ, to the kingdom of God. That's very important to remember. Look what Paul says here in your notes, if you want to follow along here. He says here, "For as I have often told you about and now tell you again, even with tears." He says, I say this with tears. There's something welling up inside him. When you hear the national anthem, or you meet a veteran, or you watch a movie that just stirs you, he says, "I want to tell you something that's bringing tears to my eyes." And he says, "Many live as enemies of the cross of Christ." It bothers him that there is a nation, a group of people, a force that live as enemies. What are they? How does he describe them? Well, their destiny is destruction. They're not going to make it. They're in trouble. But their God is their stomach. What's he mean by that? Their pleasure. They're after pleasure. Their God is I want to have a good time. It's their body, their urges, their appetites, and their glory. The things they really glory in are really shameful things, he says. And look what this says. Their mind is set on earthly things. He goes, but our citizenship is in heaven. And look how different it is. Look who the God is. It's not their stomach, but a Savior. They're not thinking of earthly things. They're thinking of heavenly things. And we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under control, that's some power, folks, that's some power, will transform, well what? Will change you and I. Transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. You see, the idea of citizenship to this church of Philippi, I don't know if you know much about Philippi, but the idea of citizenship is not something new, and it's similar to our citizenship, like Paul, in the Roman citizenship, and in Paul's day, our citizenship is very, very similar. We have privileges, just like the Romans had privileges. We have freedoms, just like in Paul's day, a Roman citizen had all kinds of freedoms and protection. You had the Roman legions of Roman soldiers to protect you. You get in trouble, guess what would happen? Your town got in trouble and you're a Roman outpost. Here comes the Roman army to take care of the problem. They didn't mess around. I don't know about you, but when you see all these flyovers, does it ever cross your mind, I sure would not want to go against this country? Just one jet scares the hooey out of me, you know? Whoa, right across, and you're going, oh my goodness. Can you imagine the sky full of those? What country can handle this? We are a superpower. We have so much in common with Rome. So much in common. And this idea of citizenship and freedom, I think it's, as I read and research about how Romans felt about their citizenship, Americans feel exactly the same way. And so as Paul is talking to this church here, this Roman outpost, he's saying, look, some of you have a citizenship, but guess what? You have one in heaven. And he's wanting them to understand what that's really about. And so what I want to do is bring all these similarities into answering. And I think that's how Paul does this. He's bringing this idea of citizenship, and I think he even brings it to you and I as Americans to help us understand, what does it really mean to be a citizen of heaven? If my citizenship is in heaven, what does that really mean? I want to give you four of many. Sermon can only be so long. Okay? There's never enough time. Just like my granddaughter, there's never enough ketchup. There's never enough time. And so, you know what they say when a preacher looks at the clock? What it means? Absolutely nothing. Okay, let's get on with this lesson. Okay. Old joke, sorry. First of all, my citizenship in heaven, what's it do? It shapes my identity. One of the first questions people ask you, besides your name, they'll say, where are you from? Now, why would they ask that? Because where you from can say a lot about you. Just stop and think about it. You know, I remember one time I was in an elevator in New York City, and this guy goes, I can tell you're not from around here. How? By the way you talk. You butcher the English language. Yeah. I live in Illinois. I bet I know which one. What part, too? What part? Southern Illinois. Really? That bad? That bad. You know, people could tell. They tell where we live by the way we talk, the way we dress, the way we act. I mean, again, when you think about that. That's one of the first things that happens. People ask you that. Well, Philippi, the city of Philippi, was a Roman colony on foreign soil. It was an outpost. Historians believe, made up 40% of the population of Philippi, which was a Macedonian town to begin with. 40% was made up of Romans. A lot of them were soldiers. You see, when Rome was conquering and spreading out their empire, when they take over a city, soldiers would go, well, I guess I'm done. I'll go back home. And Rome would say, no, stay there. We want you to stay there. Well, why? Well, because we need somebody to kind of maintain the peace there. Really, what it was about was they didn't want them to come back home because there was no jobs for them. There was no place for them now. Here's what we'll do. To keep you there, let's give you that guy's house, that person's land. And so the soldiers go, sure, I like this deal. And so they'd stick around town. 40% of the population of Philippi was Roman. And see, Romans highly, highly valued citizenship. They'd pay lots of money to be a citizen. Incredible amounts of money. Think in Acts 22, a soldier says to Paul, after Paul says, I'm a Roman citizen, the soldier says to him, well, I paid a lot for my citizenship. Yeah, he did. He paid a lot to be a citizen. You could purchase it. And you'd get this wax-covered document that would have your name and some other names, and it would prove you were a citizen. Or you had this little booklet, looked like a passport, called a diptych. That's what they called it. Little wooden box or a book that had your name, and you could carry that around and prove that you were a Roman citizen. And with it, this citizenship came great social status with it too. You were a big shot in this town. You had power in this town. You could govern in this town. You owned land. You accumulated more and more wealth because of it. And this town of Philippi, these Roman citizens, these 40%, very proud of their citizenship. Very proud. They believed they were an extension of Rome wherever they were. Wherever they set foot, this is where Rome is now. Rome is here now. And they viewed the rest of the population, catch this, they looked at the rest of the population in town as foreigners, aliens, strangers. Well, what kind of people lived in Philippi? Well, there's all kinds of people lived in Philippi. There's a lot of Greeks, Thracians, pockets of Jews, but they were considered not Roman citizens at all, but strangers. Now, here's why I say all this to you. Try to understand for a minute here. Let's try to understand, what in the world, how would this impact this church in Philippi that had both Roman citizens and strangers, aliens, in this congregation? To know your citizenship is in heaven. What does that say to the Roman? You mean it's not Rome? Your main focus in life and on this earth is not for your country. By the way, that sounds almost like a treason statement, doesn't it? I'm not saying that to say that we don't owe our country and we don't need to help our country. We live in this country. We should help this country be the best it can. Amen? Of course. But our allegiance, Paul is telling the Roman soldier who gave his life, who sacrificed all kinds of things, left home. He's saying, your citizenship really is in heaven, buddy. He's saying, in other words, if you're a citizen, You're in already. Let's say you're a Christian. Let's parallel it this way. You're a Christian. Your citizenship is really heavenward, not the things of this earth. And imagine if you're a Greek or some other culture sitting there and hearing the letter, this letter being read, your citizenship is in heaven. Well, I'm not a citizen. Well, yes, you are. And if you ever wonder, if you're a Christian, you belong to the kingdom of God, the people of God, the nation of God, the household of God. See, your citizenship shapes how you see yourself. And can you imagine somebody going, I've been saving up for Roman citizenship, and you're saying, I don't have to save. No, it's already been bought for you. It's already been purchased for you. And your certificate is the Holy Spirit inside you. As a believer who's, I say that grew up in the church versus those that just showed up. We're both citizens of heaven. And that's what I think Paul's trying to do. He's wanting the Christians to see themselves accurately in a healthy way. You realize your citizenship is really heavenward, Tim. That's where you belong there. That's your home. Talk about a country road, take me home. Your real home. You're a stranger here now. You see yourself as a stranger on earth as a Christian? Or are you trying to get along with the earth and get along with the world? Because when you're following Christ, when you make Christ, when you say, Lord, you're going to be my Lord now. I'm going to surrender to you. What you're saying is, this place is not going to be my main focus. You don't think America needs to hear this? Because we're so caught up in our stuff. So caught up in the politics. I find myself, looking to another leader in Washington, D.C., to answer my problems. And Jesus says, would you look a little higher? Would you look a little higher? Here I am, Tim. Look at the Bible. The Bible says this. It tells us how important this is, okay? It says here this idea of the kingdom of God and the idea that we are citizens of a different nation and our allegiance is not to the world. Look what Jesus said. My kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom is from another place. So first of all, Jesus says right off the bat, my kingdom, which means he says where I rule, it's not the focus of this earth. It's not about this earth. It comes from somewhere else. Its power, its meaning, its purpose comes from somewhere else. Look what he says here in John 15. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. There's this world and God's world. There's only two. The Bible calls it light and darkness. You're either a part of this world or a part of God's world. There's no, listen, I don't believe the Bible calls us to try to balance the two. That we got to find a way to balance the two. No, there's only one world, one kingdom that I'm a citizen of. Look what he says here in 1 Peter 2. As a believer, I'm just one nation here. Dear friends, your real home is not here on earth. You are strangers here. I grew up in southern Illinois on the other side of the state. And, back home is what I call it. Golden Gate, Fairfield, Albion, Bone Gap. That's where I met my sweetheart, Bone Gap. There's Elry, Allendale, Mount Carmel. Some of these towns, you don't even, I won't tell you, when I was living there, I never heard of Dow or Godfrey or Jerseyville, Edwardsville. I lived in Edwards County. Is there a connection between Edwardsville and Edwards County? Yeah, named after the same guy. I mean, I grew up 20 years. I went to school there. My friends were there. I had fun, played baseball, played in a band. My first job was there. You go to the Graceland Cemetery outside of Albion, and a bunch of my family is buried there. That's hometown. Now, when I go home, it's different. First of all, there's a McDonald's. I prayed for a McDonald's, but God answered that years after I was gone. said, man, wouldn't it be cool if we had a McDonald's? Then we'd really be a city, you know. We had a Dairydale owned by the Shepherds. I was reading this week in my, and I'm looking at Facebook at my hometown. I don't know if you know this or not, but Alton and Albion have a unique connection. Not only are they named in, they have this Edwardsville, Edwards County connection kind of a feel, but did you know that the Alton was famous for making bricks? Okay. Albion was too. When I moved here back in 1980, wow, 85, I remember driving around and Robert goes, hey, come on, I want to show you something. And we go down this street, Dry Street and 7th Street in Alton. And they're covered with bricks. And I'm going, I don't believe this. Well, he goes, what's so funny? What's so funny? I grew up in a town where that's nothing but bricks. You know what they're doing right now in Albion as we speak? They're covering them up with pavement. Things are changing back home. I don't like it. And when I visit there, I go to McDonald's and I sit down and I'm grinning because I was a kid that marched down the band, down the main street there, and I'm thinking about those memories. People are popping in. I don't have no clue with who they are. And you know what? They don't know who I am either. I've become a stranger. I've lived here longer than I've lived there. 40-some years I've been here. What's happened? What I used to think, I knew everybody. Now I don't know anybody. I've become a stranger. My identity has changed. And that's exactly what happens when I become a citizen of heaven. The world begins to change around me. The hominess and the comfortableness, it's no longer this home. It's a different place. I have a new home. I have a new place to belong, and with it, a new identity. Look at this, here, how Peter describes our identity. But you're a chosen people. You've been chosen by God. The king's priest, he says. I'm a priest? Is that Catholic? Are we talking about? No, you're not going to wear, don't wear a collar and walk around doing whatever you got. No, that's not what it is. He's talking about king, a royal priesthood, the king's priest. And a priest served as, they were a servant before their king. He goes, you're a servant of the king. You're a holy nation. Set apart, a special group of people. Last week I said something about, some of the topics we get into about who's going to heaven. Are the Muslims going? Are the Jews going? Can I tell you, just to help you out here, to remind you, the Christian is God's chosen people today. It's the Christian. That's what it says. People, a holy nation, a people who belong to God. By the way, that's Peter used to be a Jew. He left Judaism. And he can say it. He goes, I know this is true. He chose you to tell about the wonderful things he's done. He, look at this. He brought you out of the darkness of sin into his wonderful light. So as a believer, I'm chosen. I have a new birthplace, a new hometown. I'm taken out somewhere and I'm put in someplace else. I'm a servant. I'm a stranger now and a foreigner on this earth. This world is not my home. I am just passing through. I don't fit in anymore. My nationality is not determined by my birthplace. No. Jesus, being born again to follow Jesus, now defines who I really am and what nation I belong to. So I'm not just an American. I can't take it away. We're Americans. But you know what? More importantly, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. That's what you are. If you're a Christian, understand, you're a citizen of heaven. If you're not a Christian, you're an enemy of God. That's what the Bible says. You're not a citizen. You're a stranger to God. So we need to make sure our calling and election is sure, that we're following Christ. Number two, as a citizen of heaven, I yield to God's authority. You know, Philippians 3 mentions this idea that God has all this power. that Jesus had all this power. So much power he can transform my lowly, your lowly body into something eternal. He has power over everything. See, I believe as American, this American mindset has somehow distorted our understanding of our citizenship in heaven. What do you mean, Tim? Well, for example, Jesus does not invite you to enter the democracy of heaven. It's not a democracy. It's not a republic. It's a monarchy. That means that it has a king. Where do we hear the United Kingdom? I think England won, didn't they? I think they won their game. They're still in the playoffs. And I noticed that their country, a lot of them are wearing lion costumes. They're the United Kingdom. What are they talking about there? They're talking about their country. And they have a king. And because we have a king, we really don't have a voice or a vote. Look at the Bible says here. Then Jesus came to them and he said this to his disciples, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. See, there's no checks and balances in heaven. There's no heavenly Senate and heavenly House of Representatives to make sure Jesus doesn't get out of line. Wait a minute, we overruled you. No, I'll just veto it. There's no Supreme Court in heaven. No, there's a king. Why is a king need any accountability? Because he's omniscient. He has all knowledge and he has all power, omnipotent. He doesn't do anything wrong. He doesn't need a check and a balance. We do. Boy, howdy. We need it. But not Jesus. He's a king. So I don't have a vote. I don't have a voice. It's just his voice I need to focus on. What would please him? What would he want? See, his lordship supersedes my liberty if I'm a citizen of heaven. His will overturns mine. Look what the Bible says here. Peter says these words. You must worship Christ as Lord of your life, as King. There's no wiggle room here. As a citizen of heaven, I worship Christ as Lord of my life. I got thinking about this idea of patriotism. And again, I'm not knocking this. Sometimes I know some of you guys have served in the military. You might get a little bothered with me. Please don't be bothered with this because I want you to know we owe you. We owe every one of you that's been in the military. Ever since I was a boy, and you probably can relate this ever since we were children, we have seen and heard things that have shaped how we feel about our country. I mean, it's how we see the land that I love, my home sweet home. I can think about kindergarten, first grade, second grade, third grade, fourth grade, all those preliminary years, the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag we would do every morning. We prayed back then, by the way. We prayed for Kennedy when he got shot. Prayer was a part of that. And because of all this education, all these moments of standing at the flag and making sure it doesn't touch the ground and folding it just right, we got a great idea and a great understanding of what this country stands for and what this country is here for. And because of that, I believe our country helps you and I understand why we are here. Would you agree with that? Makes sense. Because we believe our country is a special place. A special place. A beacon on a hill. The Statue of Liberty lifts her golden lamp for anybody who yearns to be free. And we still believe that. I don't care what your views, whatever it is, on whatever issue there are. We believe this is a city on a hill. That's been ingrained in me all my life. I wear her colors proudly. Do you? I have no trouble wearing red, white, and blue. And I'll tell you something else. I have this sense of duty to this country. I owe this country. And I'm sure you do too. And like our ancestors, when push comes to shove, if not all of us, most of us would stand beside her. And we would fight for this country if somebody tried to take it away. And who would we fight for besides ourselves? Our kids and grandkids and everybody that's way up in the future. I love my country that much. I want to make that clear. And I would like to believe all of us love our country very much. How's that? Amen? But I want you to know, I'm learning there is a form of spiritual patriotism that ought to be in every believer. That they're loyal to Jesus like that, even more. That he reigns wherever I am. Wherever I set foot, like a Roman would say, this is Rome now. This is where the kingdom's going to be, because I'm a citizen of heaven. So heaven is now going to be right here for a minute as I stand in line, as I wait at stoplight, as I visit a friend, because I'm a citizen. And that means that what Jesus says, what the Bible says, and what God stands for, I submit to. I surrender to. I love this in 2 Corinthians 5. Our only goal is to always please the Lord. It doesn't say we have two goals and one of them is to please the Lord. Our only goal is to please the Lord, whether we're living here in the body or there with him, whether I'm here on earth or I'm with the Lord in heaven, wherever it is. My goal is to always please the Lord. See, I can't balance my world life and my kingdom life. They're not supposed to be on the scale. It's supposed to be one goal. And that means because of that, I yield to his authority, to God's authority. As a citizen of heaven, number three, I represent Christ. I represent Christ. I represent my King. It's interesting when you read the Bible and you see how Garden of Eden was and how wonderful and perfect it was. They were in the image of God. Things were going great. Then sin comes along and wrecks it and the image is distorted. And what does God do? He shifts gears and from then on, he's trying to restore or transform, change this broken world into becoming whole and broken people into something whole. And so this idea of change and growing and becoming like Christ is a theme from the very beginning of the Bible all the way to its end. And like I say, the World Cup is just interesting. It reminds you of this, how they represent their country. You have Egypt. Anybody watch the Egypt game? And they had, some of them were wearing Sphinx outfits. Ringing the cowbell. Going crazy. Like say, England had the lion outfits on. When USA's playing, there's a couple of women with a Statue of Liberty outfit. And I bought a couple of those and took them to camp. They're hilarious. And she's holding the torch up. Yeah, USA, USA. Why? They're representing their country. Each team would come out and they would sing, they would play their national anthem. And you'd watch these people with everything they got. That's our song. About our place. Philippi, again, like I told you, promoted Roman culture and customs so much. They promoted the language, the cuisine, the values, the buildings, the dress. They emphasized this so much in Philippi that historians say, some would say this when they come into town. Are we in Rome? It looks so much like Rome. It must be Rome. That was the goal, see, of a citizen of Rome. Wherever they were, they wanted to bring Rome to that place. years ago, I don't know how many of us recall this, but in our discipleship study, there was an observation that the word disciple is found in the Bible 300 times, and the word Christian is found only 3 times. Remember that? Anybody remember that? Yeah. There's only 3 times you find the word Christian in the Bible. It's interesting that the word Christian was first used by the world to describe the disciples. And what's this word Christianus mean? What does this word Christian mean? It means follower of Christ, but it also means to be like Christ. In fact, some define it as when they were called Christians, they were called little Christs. They just resemble. What does it say? Remember in the book of Acts, they said, they don't say we're unskilled nor ordinary men, but they recognize their boldness. They must have been with Jesus. They resembled Christ in such a profound way. Again, this whole passage in Philippians 3, I hope you'll go back and read it and start in verse 17. Paul says, I want you to imitate me. Not imitate me per se, but if you look at it closely, he's talking about imitate the process I'm going through to become Christ-like. I don't want you to imitate my flaws. I don't want you to imitate my worldliness, my weaknesses. I want you to imitate the process of becoming like Christ. And then he goes on, because some people live as enemies of the cross, and their God is this, and their destiny is this, and they have their ideas and their focus on the world. But you're what? You're citizens of heaven. And you think differently. You act differently. You talk differently. Why? Because you represent your King, Jesus Christ. Look at Paul says to the church in Corinth, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. What's an ambassador? He's a representative. And the apostle Paul believed he and the other apostles were ambassadors. And he wanted the church of Corinth to understand they are too. Should see ourselves as ambassadors. If I'm a citizen in heaven, again, there's my identity is being determined. I'm an ambassador. I represent Christ. I love 2 Corinthians 3 here in the easy version. It says, we show the power of the Lord to other people. Who does? We show the power of the Lord to other people. Who does, church? We do. He is changing us so that we become more and more like him. We show how great God is more and more clearly. It is the Lord who does all this by the work of his Spirit. What do we learn here? Just like immigrants who come to America, that if you historically who came to America, what happens? Just like those that came from all parts of Europe and all over the world, we as citizens of heaven begin to lose our accent, our earthly accent. Begins to change, begin to see things a little differently. Their traditions, the things we hold dear in the old country, well, we're beginning to incorporate some of those in the new country. When you look at immigrants, again, back in the day, they came wanting to start a new life in America. And they got excited when their children could speak English really well. Because why? Because they're becoming more and more American. You've heard the saying, as in Rome, do as the Romans. That was not on the lips of a Christian. A Roman may have said that, but becomes a Christian, says, not anymore. As in Christ, do like Christ. Do like Jesus. And see, when you do this, people begin to notice you're talking different. You're not just cleaned up your language. You're just talking about different things. I'm not used to it. You've changed something. You're not so quick to come out and do this with me anymore. What's going on here? What are you talking about? I'm telling you, you're different. What's happened? Your citizenship is changing who you are. I love this in 1 John 2. The one who says he belongs to Christ should live the same kind of life Christ lived. I ask myself this, do my friends and neighbors know that I'm a Christian? Do they know I'm a serious Christian? Well, they know I go to church. Ah, yeah, well, that's not the same thing. Do they know I follow Christ? Do they see this? By the way, but Tim, you know, I don't know if they do because I do such a lousy job. Listen, I don't think the world is expecting a perfect example of never falling apart. They want to see the process, a perfect process of somebody who used to be this way is working their way into becoming something else. And while you're doing that, you're going to have a setback or a hiccup or two. Huh? Of course. And people need to see that. Oh, you're not perfect. No, I'm working on stuff now, but there's stuff coming. There's stuff I'm looking ahead too. It's not supposed to be impossible to follow Christ. You can follow Christ right from where you are. You can just start now. You see, I thought about this. As I represent Christ, I'll begin to resemble Christ. When I begin to realize I need to represent Christ, I'm going to start resembling Christ. And number four, what does it mean to be a citizen of heaven? As a citizen of heaven, I have different values and priorities. We've touched on this, but I want to drill a little bit deeper if I can. Remember Philippians 3 said their God is their stomach, their glory is their shame, their minds aren't earthly things. Look what he says in Philippians 1 to this church in chapter 1, verse 21. Christ is everything that I live for. Talk about an overhaul of a worldview here. Christ is everything that I live for. If I die, that'll even be better for me. See, the Roman worldview was so radically different than Christianity. That's why they collided so much. Like oil and vinegar. It was very difficult for them. You couldn't mix them. For example, the Roman culture, human life had very little value. You know, I watch Gladiator. If you've seen Gladiator or you watch a war film, you know, Save It Private Ryan or whatever you watch. I remember one time I was watching Save It Private Ryan and Gary Spurgeon. If you ever want to have some fun, go to a crazy movie with Gary Spurgeon. I kid you not. We're sitting there and it's D-Day and they got the sound going where you hear bullets zinging by you and I hear somebody go, yelling off to my left. I go, what? It's, get down, Tim, get down. Why? They're shooting. And I go, it's a movie. Oh yeah, yeah, right on. Yeah, yeah, I forgot. It's a movie. Well, guess what they did for movies in Rome? They did the real deal. They had real people really getting killed. There's no computer generated stuff here. This was the real stuff. And if it wasn't that, abortion was common. Killing infants was common. Oh, we got too many daughters. I want boys. Let's take a couple out. This is the Roman culture. If you were sick, you coughed too much. We need to put you out of your misery. That's a fact. And slaves, well, they were just, living tools, property. Whereas Christianity said, they taught, every human being is made in the image of God. They valued life. Romans stressed things like power, force, and brutality. Christians, they stressed humility, kindness, and compassion. Romans, they were into ambitious things, ambitious projects, collect, get more, have more, drive more, be more. And Christians said, well, if we're going to have ambition, we're not going to promote selfish ambition. If we're going to be ambitious, let's promote Christ and his values. Let's build on that. Romans promoted self-indulgence. Their attitude was anything goes. I'm telling you, and everything went with it. Whereas Christians said, oh no, you should be faithful to your spouse. You should be moral. You shouldn't be shacking up. You should have self-control. Romans were preoccupied with politics. Constantly preoccupied with politics. Christians were preoccupied with what God was doing, not what the emperor was doing. They were concentrating on the unseen over the seen. And of course, Romans worshiped Caesar, and the Christians were to worship Jesus. What's Caesar? All supreme being. And Christians said, no. And for that one, they really got run through the ringer. Does the Roman culture sound anything like American culture to you? Sure sounds familiar to me. I mean, the American dream is power, superpower. We're the best, second to none. We've wiped out their navy. We've wiped out their army. We've wiped out their blah, blah. I don't know about you, but I'm not too crazy about that kind of bragging. Maybe necessary. I'm not crazy about that kind of dialogue. Jesus wasn't crazy about that kind of dialogue. That's what my conviction is. Americans are into pleasure and power and stuff and self-indulgent, preoccupied with what CNN or whoever's, Fox or whoever's saying about the latest thing. And you see the passage, don't you? Look what the Bible says Christians are to do. Citizens in heaven are to be. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. I'm not saying you should stick your head in the sand and ignore, but he says set your minds on things above. Maybe that helps me understand the earthly things better. Maybe that helps me understand how to maneuver through all this earthly stuff. See, Americans into stuff and accumulate and more. I was talking to one of my sons about this, that Amazon, before the day is over, Amazon's going to make $1.2 billion today, before the day's over, just in the United States. $1.2 billion. We buy. We think, I'll get this stuff. Our God sometimes can be, maybe it's not our stomach as much as our credit card, but we have this desire. If I got this, I'd be happy. I get this. And on. Romans were the same way. And guess what? They always fell short. They always came up short. Now, as a citizen in heaven, my mind is set somewhere else. So as we close this morning, I want to ask you, are you living like you're going to stay here? Ask yourself, am I living like I'm staying here? Because you're not. I'm not. You're not staying. I'm not staying. Are we hanging on to stuff so much, the things on earth, thinking and focusing so much on the things of earth that it crowds out our mind to think about things that are eternal? Because that's what really matters. As a citizen of heaven, I want to encourage you to let God overhaul your worldview on how things work. And do that by looking at things, at life here on earth, through a heavenly perspective, through God's eyes. That's what I'm hoping this sermon series is going to do for us. I love this place. I love this country. But we belong to a greater country, a better country, Hebrews 11 says, a better place. And it's very important that we don't forget this. Paul says these words as I close. As Christ's soldier, that's a Roman reference, by the way, do not let yourselves become tied up in worldly affairs, for then you cannot satisfy the one who enlisted you in his army. So I want to ask you, I've sent a couple, like I say, are you living like you're staying? Where are you really from? Where are you really from? When if you were to be pinned down as a Christian, where are my roots? Where's my home? Is it clear to others that I'm a citizen of heaven, that I'm a member of God's household? Have you given your life to Christ? For some of us here, have you given your life to Christ? Is he really your king? Because if you haven't, you're not a citizen of heaven. And God wants you to be a part of his kingdom. You know, I don't know, maybe you're okay with it. God is not okay with that. Why not open the Bible with somebody? Why not explore this thing? Or if you already know what you need to do, why don't you do it today? Why don't you make that commitment today? And let me ask you, those of you who are Christians here, just ask yourself this question. Are you finding yourself getting comfortable in this world? have the lines between the kingdom of this world and the, of darkness and the kingdom of light, have they, has the line been blurred in some way? Maybe you're living like you're staying here. What's the Bible say? Don't store treasures here. Store them there. I want to ask you, have you lost your passport? Have you misplaced it? Lost sight of your citizenship in heaven? Because you're a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a chosen people, a stranger on this earth. Have you forgot that? You can change that sitting right where you are. You can take that card. You can make a commitment in that card and say, you know what? I'm renewing my citizenship to heaven. You could do that today. If you're not a Christian, you're not sure you're a citizen, I want to know. I want to make sure I'm a citizen. I want to be in God's household, God's family. We're going to give you an opportunity to do that. With your cards there, and we'll, as we sing, and then we'll take up those cards, or do we take them up still, or do we pass them down? We put them in somewhere? We put them in the baskets, don't we? Yeah. I forget sometimes. And you can leave those there, or people will pray for you this morning. Let's pray together as we close out the service. Father, you want us to be in your kingdom? That is phenomenal. That you long for us to be citizens of your nation. Oh, Father, that's just mind-boggling. You really want that. And, Father, as American citizens, that we understand, we love our citizenship. Oh, God, help us crave and love our citizenship in heaven much more. Father, as we go through this series, we pray for to be open-minded, open our hearts to your truth. We want to know what your word really says. We want to elevate you because as a citizen, your words matter. Your authority matters. And Father, we pray that not only do we choose that this morning, that we also will look at our values, we'll look at the things and our priorities, and somehow, Father, turn our focus. We pray we can turn our focus more heavenward and celebrate the changes that come. Thank you, Father, for this morning, and we pray you bless this series. Pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Here's my burden, Jesus, take it now. Here's my heart, I simply lay it down. Well, I'm not strong enough to stand on my own. And I'm not wise enough to make it alone. So here's my life, Lord Jesus, take it now. Here's my will, I simply lay it down. Well, I'm not strong enough to stand on my own. And I'm not wise enough to make it to stand on my own, and I'm not wise enough to make it alone. So here's my life, Lord Jesus, take it down. I'm not strong enough to stand on my own. And I'm not wise enough to make it alone. I'm falling back into your arms. I have found my home. I'm falling back into your arms.